Blog Talk Radio.
You're listening to the all-new KBOU Radio Network. That's the Blue Raven Network. Visit our website at www.1blueraven.beebly.com.
Never replicated. You're listening to the all-new KBLU Radio Network, Blue Raven Network.
Listening to SOJC Radio, preaching the gospel of the kingdom and teaching the doctrine of Christ to the whole world. You're listening to SOJC Radio, where truth in the Word of God is found. Good morning, and welcome to SOJC Radio Church. Grab your Bible and your pens and your paper, and when two or three are gathered in His name, the Lord is right here with us. So thank you for joining us, and here's Brother David.
Good morning, and welcome to the January 5th. 2015 edition of FOJC Radio Church. I am David Carrico, and I am so very thankful to be with you this morning. We have been fighting a battle here at Ground Zero on many, many fronts, and as many of you know, and I am so glad to be teaching the Word of God this morning. It is so hard on me to be down for 3 weeks. And you can rest assured, if there was any way that we could have done it, we would have done it. But we are back for the first broadcast of the new year, and we're so thankful for that. I am also very thankful. The word of the Lord says, "Unto whom is the arm of the Lord revealed?" And He has certainly been revealed to us. As many of you know, my yearly physical showed a problem on my EKG. And that led to a stress test that said that I had a problem with my heart, which led to a nuclear test that said I had a specific problem on the back of my heart that would take either a stent or an angioplast. So I went in for the heart catheter, and of course, many of you were praying, and when I went in for the heart catheterization, they said there was no blockage and there wasn't even enough plaque to treat. So we give all glory to God and all thanks to you for your prayers and that mighty deliverance. We also have been mightily blessed in the midst of the storm. God always blesses. And one of our listeners from the Atlanta area, and you better watch out down there, Brother Maurice and Servant Mark, Sister Rebecca OJ is coming your way. And she flew in and spent a day with us. It was such a blessed time, and she has such a marvelous testimony. She came from southern Nigeria, and we, after the teaching this morning, we're going to be playing her testimony. And it is just a remarkable testimony from a remarkable young lady. And I know it's going to be a great blessing to you. Our lesson this morning is on the standard of ministry. And I usually am not real warm and fuzzy about the new year. It's just another day to me. But I really feel that our ministry is coming through changes and transitions to where God is going to broaden our tent, to make us even more effective, to reach the lost and set the captives free. And I'm looking for a really fruitful year in 2015. It doesn't matter what judgment falls, and it might be because the judgment will fall that we will be more fruitful. But I'm excited about what the Lord is doing. And our lesson this morning is on the standard of ministry. And I'm going to be sharing some things that are going to be making us more effective than ever as a body in rescuing the perishing and setting the captives free. And as we do, we're going to be preparing our hearts to receive the word of the Lord this morning with a time of worship. So let's prepare our hearts to receive the word this morning.
Simon's house. She knew the Lord was there. When she walked into the room, she was greeted by the stairs. She surely must have shocked a few of the people gathered there, as with tear-filled eyes and with trembling hands, she took down her long dark hair. From an alabaster vessel, precious ointment filled her hands. As she wept, she kissed his feet and began anointing them. With her hand, she was touching him, the Alpha, the Omega, the beginning and the end. And with her hand, she was holding on to his, and the source of life was right there in her hand. Now Simon said within his heart, "Lord, if you only knew the kind of woman who's touching you." But Jesus knew about her past. He knew about the sin. Yet he saw in her a repentant heart that had come to worship him. With a hand, life was right there. why do we gather together in His name? Are we like the ones who merely watched? Tell me, is that why we came? Are we like this sister? Do we truly enter in spirit and in truth? Have you come to worship Him? And with your hands, are you touching Him? And with your heart, are you loving Him? And with your hands, are you holding on to Him? Then your source of life is right there in your hands. With your hands, are you touching Him? The Alpha, the Omega, the beginning and the end. And with your hands, are you holding on to Him? Then the source of life is right there in your hands.
Praise the Lord. Let's go to the Lord in prayer this morning. Heavenly Father, we do thank You and praise You for the many blessings that You've heaped upon us, blessing upon blessing, grace upon grace. And we thank You so much for my healing. We thank You for our computer that's up and running. We thank You for bringing Donna and me through this trial. And all of you that are fighting this war, I know that after the lambs came to visit us, they've been through the furnace. And Father, in Jesus' name, we just rebuke the devourer off their life this morning. Father, we just speak peace and victory to that home, Father. We just come against the enemy in Jesus' name. We speak victory and refreshing this morning in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. And to all of our listeners that are fighting that good fight, Father, in the name of Jesus, let the power of Your Holy Spirit rest upon us and make the Word real to us this morning. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen and amen. Philippians chapter 1, beginning in verse 3. The standard of ministry. The Apostle Paul from the Roman prison wrote thus, I thank my God upon every remembrance of you. And it is certainly a wonderful thing to have brothers and sisters in the Lord that when you think of them, you just thank God. And we certainly have many of you this morning that fit that category. Always in every prayer of mine for you all, making request with joy for your fellowship in the gospel from the first day until now, being confident of this very thing, that he which hath begun a good work in you will perform it until the day of Jesus Christ, even as it is meet for me to think this of you all, because I have you in my heart, inasmuch as both in my bonds and in the defense and confirmation of the gospel, ye all are partakers of my grace. Now, we want to look at some things in verse 7. And the first thing is the word partaker. And that word partaker is the Greek word sukonenos. And what that means is that you are a companion. You are a joint partaker. Now, this is the word that the televangelists use to say, a partner. And that's not a wrong concept, but of course it's always be my seed faith partner. That means that if you give me $50 a month, I'll be your conduit of blessing, and if you don't sow your seed faith, you won't be blessed. Blah, 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 you know the story. That is not what this is talking about. That is a perversion of the Word of God that totally misses the point. And we are partakers, and what Paul is thanking God for is for their partnership in the gospel. Now, the Philippians had just sent a material gift to Paul while he was in prison, and my goodness, the Lord moves upon some of you to help us materially, and we are so thankful for it. You know that. We could not do what we do without that, but that is not what this text is talking about. This is talking about a partnership in the gospel to accomplish two specific things. The first thing is in the defense. He says, in the defense and the confirmation of the gospel. Now, that word defense is the word apologia. And this is where we get the word apologetics. And Donna and I were intensely involved in the apologetics movement in the 1980s. We worked with most of the big names in apologetics in that era. And in one summer, we did 16 apologetic conferences in one summer. We were burning the pavements up and wearing out the tires. But what we're going to see this morning is that that movement should never existed, because it is the job not only of the elders of the assembly, but of each Christian to defend the Word of God. And that word apologia, it means a speech in defense of something. It is defending the gospel against those that would oppose and falsify it. And this is what the entire New Testament is about. And the reason why the apologetics movement arose in the 80s is this idea began to come in, and it came in with Oral Roberts. Oral Roberts, and I don't know if that was the first, but it was a big instigator of it, he had a revelation that we shouldn't talk against the Mormons, we shouldn't talk against anybody or anything, and, you know, this idea that this was just divisive to do that, and this spread through the charismatic Word of Faith movement, and from there to infect the whole body. Until today, this is just standard fare. And it became increasingly difficult to hold these conferences, and it to the point now they're just about extinct. But they should never have existed, because it's the job of the leaders of the assembly and of every Christian to do this. And the entire New Testament, from beginning to end, it's apologetic. We see Jesus defending the truth and the Word of God against the Pharisees and the Sadducees. We see the Apostle Paul dealing with the Judaizers. We see the Apostle John dealing with the early seeds of Gnosticism. And from the front to the back, it's a battle and a struggle for the defense and the confirmation of the faith. And God wants to raise up authentic Christian ministry that will partner in presenting the gospel in the way it should be presented, and in the spirit and the manner that it should be presented in. And that's what we're going to examine this morning, the standard of ministry. And we do that because we must do things God's way if we're going to get God's help in bringing about results. Now, let's go down to verse 12. Philippians here, chapter 1. Let's go down to verse 12. And we read here, and this is a prison epistle, the Apostle Paul being in a Roman prison. He said, "But I would you should understand, brethren, that the things which happened unto me have fallen out rather unto the furtherance of the gospel, so that my bonds in Christ are manifest in all the palace and in all other places, and many of the brethren in the Lord, waxing confident by my bonds, are much more bold to speak the word without fear. Some indeed preach Christ, even of envy and strife, and some of goodwill. The one preach Christ of contention, not sincerely, supposing to add affliction to my bonds, but the other of love, knowing that I am set for the defense of the gospel. Now, in verse 17, that word defense is apologia. They knew, the Apostle Paul knew, and everyone that listened to him knew that he was set, he was ordained and called of God to defend the gospel. That is what everyone needs to understand, that we as a ministry and as a body are set. We are called and ordained of God, as every true ministry is, for the defense and the confirmation of the gospel. We defend it against those that would attack it and falsify it, and we confirm it to those that receive it, that they would know that the things that they are receiving are the true and right things of God. Now, the Apostle Paul here, and this passage is sometimes used to say that, well, you should never criticize anybody, because Paul said he thanked God for anyone that preached the gospel. Well, Paul said that even if somebody preaches the true gospel from false motives, that he thanks God from it. But the Apostle Paul did not thank God for somebody that preached a false gospel. In Galatians chapter 1, verse 8 and 9, But though we, or an angel from heaven, preach any other gospel unto you than that which we have preached unto you, let him be accursed. As we said before, so say I now again, if any man preach any other gospel unto you than that ye have received, let him be accursed. But Paul did say in Philippians 1:18, notwithstanding, every way, whether in pretense or in truth, Christ is preached, and therein do I rejoice and will rejoice. Now, that word pretense is very similar. It's synonymous with the word hypocrite. There is much more pretense in ministry today than there is truth. And a pretense, if you're making a pretense of something, that means that you're putting on an air. You're portraying yourself to be something that you're not. And when the Apostle Paul was put in prison, you might say he was the big fish in the pond. And when he was put in prison, there was a vacuum left in the preaching ministry. And some of the people that filled this void, they were doing it out of right reasons. And some of them were not. Now, what pretense is? Pretense means that these people, they taught the true gospel, but there were things that they were not saying because they knew that if they said those things, that they might wind up like the Apostle Paul in a Roman prison. I remember in Evansville, years ago, there was a lady here that was on a crusade against pornography, and she wanted to shut down the dirty bookstores, and God bless her, nothing wrong with that, go for it. But I ran into her one day, and we had a conversation, and at that time, we were making quite a stir in Evansville on the issue of Freemasonry, and we began discussing the issue of Freemasonry with this person, and she said very quickly, "The Lord has not called me to speak about Freemasonry," and ran away from me like I had the plague. Well, this is not the way the Lord does. The Lord doesn't say, Brother Gary, you're supposed to talk about Islam, but you're not supposed to talk about Freemasonry. You don't mention homosexuality, but you talk about this. I met another fella. He says that I'm called to refute Freemasonry, but I'm the Lord told me not to do it within 200 miles of my home. Now, it was not the Lord told him that. It was the yellow streak up his back told him that. Because God calls ministries to defend the gospel against any and all comers. And a true minister of the gospel will not, because of pretense, skirt issues that will make them unpopular. Now, our ministry has been distinctively called of God to talk about things that are not popular. Freemasonry will, if you speak on the issue of Freemasonry, that will alienate you from almost every assembly of any size. The issue of satanic ritual abuse, the issue of the King James Bible, the issue of the pagan holidays, the issue of the pre-trib rapture, the issue of once saved, always saved, all of these things, we have been called upon by God to raise a standard to defend the truth of Christianity from those that would apostatize it. And we are living in the most perilous of times, because the greatest enemies of Christianity today comes from those that do indeed claim to be Christian. Now, let's go to the book of Acts. And we studied not long ago about the watchman, and how that the watchman, if the watchman did not give clear warning, that the blood would be upon his hands. And in Acts chapter 20, beginning in verse 26, "Wherefore I take you to record this day that I am pure from the blood of all men, and ministers that preach from pretense and intentionally refuse to say things they know to be true, to save themselves persecution, they will be held accountable." And it's very possible that a minister could preach a gospel message, somebody hear it and be saved, and that preacher be lost and go to hell because he's preaching a right message, but he's doing it out of pretense and deliberately withholding truth from people to save his own hide. And there's a lot of things people preach on that gets them donations and a following. But there's some things that don't, you see. And a true minister of the gospel will not pick and choose, but they will come against the wolf in whatever way it comes against the flock. Now, in verse 27, "For I have not shunned to declare unto you all the counsel of God. Take heed therefore unto yourselves and to all the flock over which the Holy Ghost hath made you overseers, to feed the church of God, which he hath purchased with his own blood. For I know this, that after my departing shall grievous wolves enter in among you, not sparing the flock." And in Romans chapter 1 and verse 18, "For the wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all ungodliness and unrighteousness of men who hold the truth in unrighteousness." And it's very possible to hold the truth and hold it in unrighteousness because out of pretense you are deliberately withholding things from people that are necessary to their truth from the Word of God and their spiritual life. Now, let's go to 1 Peter. 1 Peter chapter 3 and verse 15. And you all would just not, well, you'd believe the battle that we're fighting here. Right now, they are remodeling in the apartment above us, and they have a big roller, and they're rolling down the tile, and there's a big roller right over my head, rolling back and forth. But roll on, roller, we don't care. We're on the air, and we're going to preach the gospel this morning. I tell you what, the devil is defeated, he's a liar, and Jesus Christ is Lord this morning. Amen. 1 Peter chapter 3, verse 15. "But sanctify the Lord God in your hearts, and be ready always to give an answer to every man that asketh you a reason of the hope that is in you with meekness and fear." Now that word "answer" in 1 Peter 3:15 is the word apologia. And that means that it's not just my responsibility, but you. I'm asking you this morning to be asun kononos with me. Be a partner with me in defending and confirming the gospel It doesn't take a village, like Hillary said, but it takes a body to defend and confirm the gospel. Amen. It's not the job of one person or just of the elders. Every child of God is called upon to defend and confirm the gospel. Now, I want you to note the last three words, or the last four words in 1 Peter 3:15, with meekness and fear. Look at your neighbor and say, I'm going to be meek in 2015. Yeah, I'm going to be meek in 2015. Yes, indeed. And the reason why it's important to be meek, and we're going to talk a lot about this, but if you do not do things the Lord's way, you will not have the help of the Holy Spirit in what you do. Now, let's look at something. We're going to look at one more scripture, then we're going to take our first break. Let's look at something in the doctrine of Christ in Luke chapter 21, and let's read in verse 12. And Jesus speaks to this very situation. In Luke chapter 21, in verse 12, Jesus said, but before all these things, they shall lay their hands on you and persecute you, delivering you up to the synagogues and into prisons, being brought before kings and rulers for my name's sake. And it shall turn to you for a testimony. Settle it therefore in your hearts, not to meditate before what ye shall answer. For I will give you a mouth and wisdom, which all your adversaries shall not be able to gainsay nor resist. Now, a lot of preachers use this to say you're not supposed to study. They say they're so led by God, I don't study, I just open my mouth and God will fill it. That's the farthest thing in the world from what this is talking about. This is talking about situations where we are really being persecuted and put on the spot. And then it says, and at all times, that we rely on the Holy Spirit, and that the Holy Spirit will give us a God-anointed answer for that situation. Now, if you allow yourself, we are to give our answer, our apologia, in meekness and fear. And if we go from meekness to anger, guess what? You have just forfeited the help and the anointing of the Holy Spirit, and you are on your own. And you're going to find real quick on your own what your little self-righteous rants will accomplish. It will accomplish nothing. And believe me, I speak from experience of one who has not always done things the right way in every situation. And I could tell you some funny stories, but I'm not going to tell on myself this morning. We're going to take our first break, and we're going to come back, and we're going to look at some extremely important scriptures that are going in to instruct us in things that are going to make us more effective than ever in 2015. We'll be right back with FOJC Radio Church.
Thank you for being a part of FOJC Radio Church. You can contact us at FOJC, Post Office Box 4174, Evansville, Indiana 47724-4174. Or you can call us at area code 812-473-3735. Or you can email us at lastdayschurch@cs.com. Or you can check out our website at www.ritualabusefree.org. That's all one word, ritualabusefree.org. That's RITUALABUSEFREE.org. And please remember to tune in next Sunday at 9 a.m. Central Time. Thanks and God bless.
We declare the kingdom of God is here.
Often duplicated, but never replicated. You're listening to the all-new KBLU Radio Network. That's the Blue Raven Network.
Broadcasting live from the high desert southwest, out here in the Rockies, you're listening to the all-new KBLU Radio Network, Blue Raven Network. Thank you for listening.
You're listening to the all-new KBLU Radio Network. That's the Blue Raven Network. Visit our website at www.1blueraven.beebly.com.
Often duplicated, never replicated. You're listening to the all-new KBLU Radio Network, Blue Raven Network.